Well, good morning, Chapel family. It's great to be with you this morning. My name is Daryl, if you're new here, and I'm the associate pastor here at Chapel of the Cross, and I get the privilege of kicking off a new sermon series today. When we're doing a sermon series called A Heart of Gratitude. And so I'm hoping to kind of go through the month, coming off of this series of All In, of talking about being radically surrendered unto Christ. As we prayed through that, thought about that, and even just thought about the season, it only makes sense to kind of go in this direction, because I think that thankfulness is something that definitely, or gratitude is something that drives our faith in such a big way. If you've ever actually tried to define gratitude, it's easy to say, well, gratitude's just a synonym for being thankful or whatever, but the actual definition is the quality or feeling of grateful or thankful. And I love the idea that it's the quality of. And when you think really about the term of gratitude, it's interesting that the definition doesn't say that it's just a quality of thanks. And you go, well, what's the difference? Well, thankful means that you're kind of overflowing, if you will. You're up to the very tip top of thanks. There's not something to be lacking for. There's nothing to move towards. You are full of thankfulness. Or to be grateful is to be full of being grateful, right? And so, and having this idea of gratitude, and we're going to be going through the book of Colossians. It's very interesting that we get to see a picture from Paul in the book of Colossians, where every single chapter he comes back to this heart of gratitude. He starts off with what we're going to look at today, being thankful for others. He's going to talk about his thankfulness and his gratefulness for the gospel. He's going to talk about his gratefulness and how that drives his worship life. He's going to talk about his gratefulness and how that drives his prayer life. And if you're curious this morning, if maybe you are or not someone who has a heart of gratitude, one of the easy ways to check is this just simple illustration that you've probably seen 100 times. And the question is, what do you see? Do you see a glass that's half empty? Or do you see a glass that's half full, right? So that's kind of one of these like little markers that you can always go to, right? Is that when you see these things, I unfortunately have to tell you that I tend to see this as a glass half empty. When it comes to my own personal circumstances, when it comes to my own personal life, I tend to definitely look at things from a glass half empty kind of state. I do a really good job of marking the things in my life that aren't going the way that I want them. I do a very good job of marking my life in the ways that I'm not meeting my own standards, that I haven't come to be where I want to be. And I kind of miss the areas that are great areas of gifts from the Lord. And I start to lose that idea of thankfulness because I focus on the negatives so hard and so easily. So let's look this morning at the book of Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to try to hopefully walk through the next few weeks of how can we maybe reset our hearts, or how can we begin to train, to discipline, to meditate our hearts on the things to be thankful for. And the first thing that we see Paul tell us this morning is that we thank God for your faith. Listen to this. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, the faith and love that springs from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. So the first thing that Paul talks about in his letter is he writes this church. What's really interesting, check this out. He's actually writing this church because they're a people who have received the gospel, but he's writing the letter because they are being led astray by a false teaching. So this isn't a letter of, hey, you guys are crushing it. This isn't a letter of any of these things. He's actually writing because they're beginning to get off track. And yet, what does he say? He starts it all off as, we always thank God for what? For you. We thank God our Father because you're faithful. Because you've placed your faith in the gospel. We thank God our Father because you love the saints. So what he's saying is like, yes, you're off track. But at the same time, every time that we think of you guys, we always thank the Lord for the fact that you've received the gospel. We thank to the Lord that you're faithful. You know, for me, most of you, if you're new here anyway, you can tell very quickly, as we've said over and over again, that I'm not from New England. It comes very naturally in the y'alls and those kinds of things that I say. For those of you that have been here for a while, know my story, but let's just walk through this again. My first exposure to New England was about 7 years ago. I came to New England for a week. I spoke at a camp in New Hampshire. It was all I did. It was an incredible time. And it was really just so fun. It's always exciting to go to get to be at a camp and then to see teenagers give their life to Christ. And you get to celebrate that. But inevitably what would happen is, as I made my routine at this camp, there was kind of this cross-section spot where if you were going to go get fraps or if you were going to go to the waterfront or whatever, you had to kind of walk this path. So I would sit on this bench every afternoon from like 2 to 4 and just try to be available if students had questions or if they wanted follow-up to something or didn't understand. And what was really fun and disheartening was to have students who were giving their life to Christ come down that pathway and stop and go, "Hey, Daryl, I just wanted to let you know I surrendered my life to Christ last night. I'm born again. Hey, that's awesome." And they would start to go through the process. What do I do now? I mean, I get it. I understand what you did, but what now? And so we'd walk through things. Well, do you have a Bible? Yes. We'd walk through if they had a Bible that would be good and understandable for them. If not, we'd walk over to the bookstore. We'd get them a Bible. We'd talk about prayer. We'd talk about just the different spiritual disciplines of how they could begin to communicate with the Lord. And then I would always ask them, my follow-up would be, are your parents believers? Do you have a mom or a dad, either one, or whoever your guardian is, are either of them Christians? And I would say 75% of the time they would say no, which was disheartening. So we would walk through then, okay, that's all right. You can still do these things. How about this? Is there anybody in your family that you know is a Christian or a believer, someone who follows Jesus? 75-80% of the time, no. What about someone in your school? Surely there's somebody that walks your hallways that you know is a Christian, that's a believer, someone that you could reach out to and kind of lock arms with and walk with. Not that I know of. Probably 75% of the time. Okay, well then what about a local church? You got to get plugged into a church when you get home. And I'll never forget the first year in particular, this one girl was so excited and she goes, "The only church that I know of that truly believes the gospel that you've been teaching of, I've heard about, but it's about 30 minutes away. And I'm not old enough to drive and there's no way my parents are taking me because they're not a Christian." And so this began to repeat itself. I spoke at that camp for about 5 summers. And year after year, kind of just hearing the same story over and over and over again. Thrilled and grateful for the work that Christ was doing in the lives of these students. But disheartened and saddened to send them away, right? And so sure enough, God begins to stir our hearts for New England. God starts to stir our hearts about just praying if maybe we're supposed to move to New England. And I have to tell you that when we started to really realize that God was calling us to this region, there was a lot of fears. Not knowing the area other than 5 weeks. I mean, you go to a camp for 5 years, but you're really in it for 5 weeks, you know. And you're really from the airport to the camp and back. You don't really experience much. You don't know the culture. You don't really know what's going on. Taking on a role that we had never taken on before. But I'll never forget, as we went through our process here with chapel and went through the interviews, I remember at one point breaking down emotionally in one of our interviews because of my family. And they said, "You've gotten emotional a couple times about your family. What is that?" And I said, "I'm scared. I mean, if you want me to be gut level honest, I have a great fear. You see, you got to understand my context of where I came from. A 10-mile circle from where our house was, there were at least 8 churches with 1,500 or more people attending them. There was probably 30 churches that had 500-600 or more. When my daughter went to school, she could name 4 people in her class that went to our church. She could name the girl whose dad was a worship leader at another church in our town. Our kids were surrounded by faithful people, by faithful families. The family across the street from us led a life group in their home every week that they were doing that. So when my kids went and hung out with them, they were being encouraged in the faith. So I was scared. Am I going to move up here and I'm going to put my kids in school, and what if there's not a single Christian around them? How will they react to that? How will they handle that?" So, church, when I hear Paul say, "I thank God every time that I pray for you because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and for your love for the saints, I stand before you today personally saying, I thank God every time that I pray for you. For your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and for your love for the saints. My family's flourished because of you. My kids are not surrounded by Christians in their class, but they're surrounded by you. My wife has friends who encourage her in her faith. Why? Because of this place. And it's not that chapel's the only place, okay? We get that. But for me personally, I thank my God every time that I pray for you all. You have encouraged my family. You have grown my family. You have received my family. You have loved my family. And you have been a witness to the gospel. You are doing a good job, church. And here's the cool thing. I don't know if you realize this or not, but guys from Oklahoma don't really take notice of churches all over the place. I had heard of your faith from a distance, just like Paul was saying in this passage. You see, Paul never actually went to the church of Colossae. He didn't even start this church. He's never been there. He's heard about them. And I had heard of you. And as a pastor on your staff, I just want you to know this morning, I am thankful. When he says we are thankful for your faith, I am thankful for your faith. I'm thankful for the impact that you're having in this region. And people do know, and people are hearing about what you are living out. I just sat with a guy a few weeks ago and was asking him what got him to really land at our church. What really got him to be here? And he said, you know, when you come here, there's just something different. He goes, there's some other churches we know about. There's some other churches we could have gone to and been a part of. He goes, but when you walk in here, there's a realness to this place. There's a relational connection in this place that's different. He goes, you feel at home. And man, I'm so grateful for that. And I would echo all of what I just said, that our elders, our staff, our ministry team leaders, we are grateful for your faith. We are grateful for the way that you love one another. We have a heart of gratitude for what it is that you're doing for the gospel. We are thankful for you. Moving on, Paul continues on and he says that we thank God for your faith investment. Look at verses 6 through 8. It says, all over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard of it and understood God's grace and all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras. Okay, let's stop there. Never name your child this. Number two. This is the guy who started the church. You see, Paul didn't start the church. Epaphras did. Our best guess, we don't know, but our best guess is that the chances are that Epaphras was probably somehow involved in Pentecost because it's along the pathway, and that he then went back to his hometown of Colossae and started sharing the gospel and began this church, right? You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. Paul gives us so many reminders here. Number one, whether we see it or not, whether we realize it or not, whether we even believe it or not, here's the truth. The gospel is bearing fruit around the world. Right now. Right now, the gospel is bearing fruit around the world. Right now, the gospel is bearing fruit in your life. And right now, the gospel is bearing fruit right here in Westboro, Northboro, Southboro, Shrewsbury, in this Metro West area. The gospel is bearing fruit. Why? Because I believe that there are Christians in this room and in other churches in this area who are investing their faith. You haven't just taken your faith as your get-out-of-jail-free card. You haven't just taken your faith and said, great, I have some friends I get to hang out with on Sundays and maybe some other days of the week. But you've actually taken your faith and you've begun to share it with people. There's someone, let's be real, you're in this room right now, most likely, 9 out of 10 chance, because a person sat down with you and helped explain the gospel to you, correct? Someone shared the gospel with you. The gospel is bearing fruit. There are people in this room today who someone shared the gospel with them in the last year, and they are now here because of your faithful investment in that. There are people in this room today that have known the gospel for maybe most of their lives, but maybe they were burned, maybe they got hurt, whatever it was. But because of your investment of your life within the gospel, they've been able to come back and feel something and sense something and be a part of something that they've wanted to be a part of for a really long time. I'm so thankful for the investment that all of you are making in the gospel. We're thankful for your Epaphras, whoever that was. I'm thankful for just a few weeks ago that I saw an entire family come in our church for the first time ever. Why? Because a family was willing to invite their son to church. And he's been coming to church with them week after week. And the family came to visit and they all came to church with that son. I'm just curious. And I know that this is not the norm and it's the uncomfortable thing. But if you've started attending chapel in the last year and a half, would you raise your hand? Just out of curiosity. If you're new to chapel in the last year and a half. The gospel is bearing fruit, folks. The gospel is bearing fruit. I called a family this week. Said, hey, I know that you had surgery. How can I help out? They said, don't worry about it. This person and this person are already coming by. That's already covered. We really appreciate the phone call. You are investing your faith, church. I'm thankful because today in this very room, there's a husband who prayed for his wife. And she knows the Lord today. I'm thankful that a year ago or so that we had these kids, these college kids from Oklahoma, come and do work here. And they're already beating my door down about when they can come back. I'm thankful that today we will have over 40 volunteers make this service work. That will care for our children, that will care for our students, that are going to fix the slides for you, that are going to run the sound for you, that are going to play music for you, that are going to make banners for you, that are going to shake your hand when you come in and see how your day is going, that they're going to walk with kids with special needs and make sure that they're cared for well today. 40 people, and we need more. I'm thankful that we have people who go consistently and serve people at a place called the Highlands, which is an assisted living facility. And people can't have a church service, but Rick Needham leads a team that goes over there and gives them service. It gives them church. It gives them family. Teaches them the gospel. I'm thankful for those of you that give your time to go over to Pleasant Street Baptist and you feed the lowly. And you sit and you don't just feed them. You talk with them. You visit with them. You pray with them. I thank God for Glenn Margosian leading that ministry for us and making that happen. I'm grateful every week when I get to look right now and see that not just through your time, not just through your skill, not just through your spiritual gifts, but that financially our church is in the best situation it's been in over 5 years. Because you're giving for the gospel. And what does that mean? It means that Rick and Myla Berry that we prayed for this morning, do you know we added them last year because we had the availability to add them? We were able when they came and met with us and we said, what you're doing is a good ministry and we're at a place that we are flourishing financially and we can help support you. We can put you on that list. David Larson is the same. David was not a missionary that we supported a year ago and now he is. Church, I'm thankful for the way that you invested in Tanya LeGros. You gave financially, you gave emotionally. I so thank God for the way that you're investing your faith. Wall to wall, folks. But I'm also grateful for something else. And I'm thankful that God is not done with us yet. Verses 9 through 12. It says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you, asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you might have a great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. And I don't know if you noticed throughout that passage, but Paul is not making declaratives. He's literally saying, here's what I'm praying that you become. So get this. He starts the letter out saying, hey, we thank God for you. Why? Because I've never been to your church, but I've heard about your church. I've heard about your faithfulness. I've heard about your love. I've heard what's going on over there. But even so, I'm praying now, verse 9 right there, that God would fill you with the knowledge, that you may live a life worthy, that you may please Him, that you would continue growing in the knowledge, being strengthened, that you may have, listen to this, great endurance and patience, listen, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, that you would have a heart of gratitude, that you would continue on. Folks, if you're new this morning, it's your first time, let me just put it right out there. We have a lot that we screw up. A lot. We are not perfect. We have not arrived. We're not there yet. I am not there yet. I am flawed in so many ways that are uncountable, and I hate every flaw within my life. But I joyfully give thanks that God has qualified me in the gospel, that I'm able to stand before the throne of God righteous, and that God's not done with me yet. And you have flaws. Church, we have flaws. We have so many areas we can grow. We have so many areas we can move forward. We can grow in our wisdom. We can grow in our knowledge, our understanding, endurance, our patience, our joy, and gratitude. But I'm grateful because God is not done with this church. He's not done with you as an individual. He is not done with this church. He is not done with Westboro. He is not done with Northboro. He is not done with the Metro West area. He's not done with Massachusetts. He's not done with New England. He's not done with this nation. He's not done on this earth. He has work still to do. And I thank God that He's still at work. Every single day I want to thank God that He is still at work. We can look around this room, and I would pray that from this series moving forward, that when we gather corporately, that when we come into this place, that we would truly come with hearts of gratitude for one another, for the different ways that all of us bring something to the table to help the gospel be invested in this area, because God was so gracious to give us an amazing faith. Let's leave here today as a family with hearts of gratitude for one another. Let's come every week with hearts saying, man, I thank God for this family. I thank God for the faith that we all have, that we are of one mind, one body, one spirit. So a couple ideas of how you can maybe start to grow this heart of attitude in your life from this passage. Number one is just to express it. Express your gratitude for your faith. Express the gratitude of your faith. If you're a journaler, journal it. If you're a prayer person, we said this like a year ago, before your feet hit the ground, before, when you wake up in the morning, before your feet ever touch the floor, just stop. Thank God for the day. Thankful that His breath is in your lungs, and thankful that He's given you the gospel, that you've been able to see it revealed and you've been able to receive it. Every day express thankfulness for your faith. Express gratitude to God for the ones who shared their faith with you. I can think of those people in my life. My Aunt Helen, my Uncle Bill, my FCA Director Todd Thompson, my youth pastor Chris Wall, my two friends that I went to school with that lived their faith out daily, Nikki and Ashley, that helped lead me to the gospel. Who is your Epaphras, in other words? Thank God for them. Thank God for the people today who continue to share their faith with you. Third, express gratitude to God because He's still working on you. Look, don't hide. Don't pretend that everything's fixed. Acknowledge your weaknesses. Acknowledge your failures, but also be grateful that God's still going to work on you, that God sees that. He's known it from the very beginning. And He's not finished. He's not done. But that He loves you, and He's still molding you into the image of Christ. And then if you got that insert this morning, did you catch that this morning? You all have an insert in there. Here's our challenge for this month. Take this home, put it on your nightstand, whatever it is. You got a journal, put it in the journal. If you got a refrigerator you want to put it on, put it up there. But every single day, here's a challenge. Write down three things. And yours is broken down, right? This week is for people. Every day, writing down three people that you're grateful for in the faith. And you can't repeat, right? Husbands, I know you're going to want to put your wife down every day to score some points, okay? You can't. You can put her down once, okay? children once. But every day, writing down three people. Next week, we're going to talk about the gospel. And then we're going to take a week to focus. And every day, write down three things about the gospel that we're thankful for. Week three, what hymns and songs help drive us towards the gospel that we're thankful for. As crazy as that is, Paul's going to talk about that in this book. And then prayer. What three things of prayer, what does it do for you? How does it drive you? And here's what I think is going to happen. We talked about how you can find out whether or not you're probably a person that lands in the gratitude side or not based on how you see the glass. But here's what I think is going to happen. That is, every day you write down these things in the gospel that you're grateful for, as you start to write down your Chris Wall, your Todd Thompson, your whatever, you're not going to have to answer it anymore. Because you're going to realize that there's a lot more than you ever realized. We just don't take time to focus on it. I think by the end of this series, if we'll really discipline ourselves to go through and thank the Lord and be grateful to the Lord for all that He's put around us, the question of are we half full or half empty, regardless of our circumstance, will not be the question. It will just be that we have hearts of gratitude. We have hearts of thankfulness. And then the last thing, as you leave today, there are these thank you cards. If you don't like them, that's fine. Get your own stationery, whatever. But these thank you cards are out on the tables as you leave. On the other side, it's already set up for you to address it, throw a stamp on it, and put it in the mail. Why don't you pull a Paul this week? Write a letter. 1, 2, 3, I don't care. If you know what the address to your Epaphras is, write them a letter. Say thanks. If there's somebody right now that's sharpening you and refining you, write them a letter. Say thanks. Maybe you know of a church in our area that you know that God's doing a great work in. Why don't you just write the church and say, hey, I just want you to know, we've heard God's doing great things there. We just want to encourage you that we know. We're thinking about you. We're praying for you. So I don't care if you take one of these. I don't care if you take five. We may run out, but okay. But write someone a letter this week. Send them that letter that says, man, every time that I pray for you, I thank God. I thank God for your faith. I thank God for your investment. I thank God that even though you have impacted my life tremendously, that God's not done with you yet. That God's still got a great work. And church, genuinely this morning, as an elder and on behalf of our elders, as a staff member and on behalf of our staff, on behalf of those who lead different ministries around this church, we are grateful for you. We are truly grateful for you. Continue to fight the good fight. Run your race. And do what it is that God's called you to do, because God is using you. The gospel is bearing fruit around the world and even in you since the day that you have heard of your faith. Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. Genuinely, Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to gather. Thank you for the opportunity to worship. Thank you for the one who shared the gospel with us. Thank you for the ones who continue to drive and refine us in the gospel. Thank you that you're not done with us yet. And God, thank you that you reached out at all. Because the gospel is something we do not deserve. But you have graciously given it to us. And so Lord, may we leave today and may we live this week as a people marked by Christ. And as a people who have hearts of unbelievable gratitude. That we literally would live in a quality of being grateful and thankful for all that you've done for us and for all of those people that you've brought into our life to help us walk this path. We love you, Lord, and we genuinely this morning say thank you for the work that you're doing in us and thank you for the work that you're doing around us. It's in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen. Amen.